Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and we are going to go into the Word of God today, 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, and we're going to learn an important lesson from one of God's servants, and that is to remove hindrances in our walk with God. Let me share with you those passages of Scripture found in 2 Kings, chapter 18, verses 3 to 8, and this is regarding the kingship, if you will, ministry of King Hezekiah. Verse 3 says, "He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan." Beloved, well, let me go on and finish reading that. "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city." So he's following the Lord, and God prospered whatsoever he did. But what I want us to look at was verse 4. It says, "He brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made." Let's look to Numbers, the 21st chapter, verse 8, where people had again tested God, and the serpents were biting them, and they were dying. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." This was something God commanded Moses to do. But what happens in verse 4? Over the passage of time, they made an idol of it. It said the children of Israel burned incense to it. And he called it, Hezekiah called it Nehushtan, which means something that's worthless. And beloved, we need to learn example from this godly king. There are multitudes of Christians that have been taught to think on the things of the Lord, his word, his promises, his great and wondrous works he's done in our behalf. That's wonderful. But also, we need to do more than just think on these things, which is wonderful. That's the start. But we have to act on them. We can talk about what God says in his word all we want to, but there comes a time, as it did for Hezekiah, that we have to take action. The wise man or woman of God not only seeks to know the will of God, but he or she will actually do it or perform it, not to be a hearer only. And so we have to look at this verse that we, you know, he says in verse 3, that Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He was not foolish enough to try and do it. He was just, what was right in his own eyes. He was guided by what God wanted him to do. And it takes a real man or woman to bring their lives in line with God's word. It takes courage. It takes strength in order to, as we seek God, rightly divide the word of truth. Someone said that any dead or sick fish can flow with the stream. Joshua declared, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A healthy fish, like a salmon, for example, they actually come against the current when they're going to their breeding grounds, coming from the ocean. And so sometimes we have to take stock of where we are personally in our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to bring to our minds or hearts anything that is holding us back, something that may have been of God at one point, just like this brazen serpent. It was God himself who commanded the making of it for a purpose that the Israelites could live who had sinned. But in verse 4, we're told in this passage I read that Hezekiah removed the high places, broke the images, cut down the Asherah, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses has made. And he called it an Nehushtan, a brazen trifle. And here we see things that dishonored God were torn down, broken in pieces, and they were cast out. And we have to examine our lives. There might have been something in our lives that God had honored or had requested, but those things which honored God, they were set up they can become, if it's from a former season, hindrances to the will of God in our lives. And we have to be willing to forsake whatever was past and look to the new thing that God wants to do. And if there's anything in our hearts, you see, it wasn't the serpent as such. It was what the people were doing. They making it an idol. They're burning incense to it. That was hardly God's heart. And there's, in the same way, if there's anything in our hearts that hold a higher esteem or a higher place in our hearts than the Lord, then, and if we put those things first, beloved, what we have to do, that you know, they have to be destroyed. We have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. That's what the word of God says. And so Hezekiah called the brazen serpent by its right name. He called the brass serpent Nehushtan, a thing of brass, a mere trifle, that it had lost its significance, its power, its meaningness, because this was no longer the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. And beloved, the principle is, the lesson is, that anything that we allow to come between us and God is merely a trifle as far as its power is concerned, and it's death to those who continue to do it, to allow it to remain in their lives. We have to move on in God. What may have been valid once is not valid now. Beloved, those who worship any other god, it could be a relationship or gold or silver, money, houses, lands, position, prestigious positions, and that could even be, you know, in the church world. I mean, we are all in the process of removing the carnal way of thinking from our lives and having God do that work in us, where we will be able to understand by the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of God, what it is that God is asking us. And it's quite simple to achieve the wise fivefold minister given until we all come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus. That's perfection, beloved. It won't be achieved completely in this life, but when we're with the Lord, we will enter that perfection, as are those who have gone ahead and those who are in heaven, our loved ones. And so these are false, deceptive, trifling gods, basically, that control the affections of the heart and can have the potential of robbing us of so many of God's perfect blessings. Remember what the prophet Samuel said to the first king of Israel, to Saul, after he disobeyed God? He said, rebellion is as the sin, I'm going by memory, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. That's 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And so in verse 5, we find that Hezekiah trusted in, leaned on, and was confident in the Lord God of Israel, gave victory over his enemies. In verse 6, we find that he clung and held fast to the Lord. He ceased not to follow him. He kept his commandments and prospered wherever he went. And in that same 7th verse, we find that Hezekiah also rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him up. The person who is totally dependent on God is a person who will be independent of man-made bondage. Think about that. We can easily obey God when we dare rebel against the work of darkness and submit ourselves to God. James put it this way. Simply and clearly, I trust a very familiar passage, James 4 and 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That talks to me of victory. It's not maybe so, it's not possibly, but there's two aspects to that promise. The devil fleeing from you, if you're submitted to God, and you take your spiritual weapons, the Word of God, and resist him. Praise God. Beloved, if we are with the Lord, he will be with us. He will be with us. And just as it said in the New Testament, when the power of the Holy Spirit fell, it says in the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Amen. So be it. Praise God. God wants, he's giving us a challenge today to let go of everything that would hold us back. As a new season dawns upon us, we need to say, yes, Lord, anything that you may have wanted at once, but this is a new time. God is doing a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. Shall ye not know it? Let us be attentive to those new things that God wants to do in our lives. Praise God. Well, this week it's been a joy and pleasure to share the Word of God with you this week. And I do, as I always do, invite you to write and share your prayer needs. This is a ministry of prayer and correspondence and intercession. And I alone receive the letters, read the letters, answer the letters, write the letters, and send back to you whatever God gives, whether it's a word of scripture or teaching, admonition, a prophetic word, whatever it is. So many over the years, I've got files, fat files that stretch over the years, including to the time of Brother Glass, of answered prayer. So I invite you to write. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.